Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, hey, Scott.
Hi, Mark.
Thought we'd just talk today. We normally have pretty public conversations on here, and thought we'd talk a little bit about more of a private conversation that we had last night. Oh, you were over.
Okay. Yeah.
We had my brother and his family at our house this last week. He comes in every 5 weeks or so for work, but this time he brought the whole family because they had recently suffered the loss of their son, my nephew, Jake, 20 years old, and motorcycle accident, and it was really sudden. And so I thought it would be, just in that conversation, I thought it would be worth talking about some of the things in that today.
Well, clearly, yeah, this will be more a different kind of conversation than we have other times, and I think that's important for people to know. Not so you avoid it or turn it off, but because it's one of those conversations that you really have to, especially, you know, as the year begins and things, you have to think about.
Yeah.
And what do I want my life to be like and count for? And
so
there's a lot to this, probably a lot to this that we're not even going to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't talk about it in one podcast episode. You know, we couldn't talk about all of it, but,
Well, tell us kind of what happened.
Yeah. So it was, I don't remember the exact date. It was a little before Thanksgiving, and we got a text saying, pray for Jake. He might have been in a motorcycle accident. And that's all we got. And then we just didn't hear for a little while, maybe a half hour, it feels like, went by. And then I got a call from my brother that, that he didn't make it, that he was in a motorcycle accident and that he didn't make it. And it was alarming. I mean, it was
unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And so they live in Texas, you know.
Yeah.
We live here in Oregon City, and they live in Texas. And I felt like we were a million miles away, you know. And so we immediately looked for airplane tickets, and my wife and I were able to get on a plane at around midnight that night. And we were at their house by 9 a.m. the next morning.
Mark.
So this text that we got from them was probably close to 4 o'clock p.m. our time, and we were in Texas by 9 a.m. the next morning. So felt pretty fortunate to be able to get there that quickly. But we got down there, and we didn't know what to expect, and there were just there were so many things that I was really glad to see as a brother who was living so far away. I got to see that they had a house full of friends there. They had, which we were kind of told at Followers, we were kind of told that this is the only place you'll have community like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see that, to see more proof of that is not true was great. It was a huge blessing to us to be able to see that. To see their church family, that their church rallied around them, and we went to church with them that next Sunday, and we were told that you wouldn't have that either, you know, when you leave Followers, that again, this is the only place you'll have that. And it just a huge blessing to me to see that they're in good hands. They're not alone going through this, like we're kind of told we would be.
Yeah, and talking with them, it was really meaningful. Certainly, the way the church has rallied around them, it was meaningful. Mm-hmm. But this has been meaningful for their church as well.
Yes,
that The church has, it's just become a richer, deeper experience for them because of this, which, and not just for them, but I think even outside of them, the church has, this has been good for their church too, which is really an interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to talk about that.
Yeah. And another thing that was really good about it was listening to stories from people who I was meeting for the first time, who were talking about what an impact Jake had on their life, either their, either theirs directly or their kids' life or something. It was just, it was really great to just see the body of Christ being, just getting a bigger picture of the body of Christ, because I grew up with a pretty small picture of the body of Christ.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that as a pastor that I really like, I think, is just whenever I can, I don't know, sometimes I even close my eyes and think about, you know, whatever thing's happening, whether it's good or average or bad or whatever around here, I just think about how many times that is happening, something meaningful is happening around the world in various little places, unseen, unheralded, unimportant, yet, you know, life-changing like this, and how that's not just happened, you know, this week, but it's happened like every single week for the last 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. Something like this has happened where people rally for other people because they actually really believe Jesus is alive from the dead, and that makes all the difference in a time like this.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does, and that's part of what I wanted to talk about, too. I just kept thinking about my mom, and my heart was just breaking for her. You know, she's still at Followers. We've not been a part of each other's lives for several years now. I was really glad that she did reach out and ask for Gary's number and contacted him and talked to him, and which was great. I'm glad she did that. But
and he's glad she did that too.
She's
That's
very
wonderful.
She's very he is very glad that she did that.
Right.
And it just made me think back, like we do on this podcast. It made me think back to what things were like before compared to what they're like now, or contrasted to what they're like now. And I thought of the scripture in Thessalonians that that it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. It says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And it goes on, but I just think there's a couple things there. I grieve in a different way now than I did before.
Can I read a few more words there?
Sure.
Because I think it's important. I think it's important that you express kind of why you believe, why you grieve differently. And it isn't because you're going to a different church.
No.
It's because of this. The very next, we grieve as those who have no hope, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's and then it goes. Then it goes on. No,
yeah,
I just,
you're right.
We can keep. You can keep reading.
I stopped in the wrong spot. Yeah.
Well, no, you stopped in the right spot. But it just is. I think that it's not an accident that our grief is informed by or shaped by or essentially resurrected by the fact that Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah,
and we can't. You just can't get around that. And the hope that we grieve with, it says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve with hope.
Yeah.
And we grieve with hope because Jesus rose from the grave. And that means that death has no more dominion. Right. And the greatest thing that we would fear has been taken away for certain.
Yeah.
And that is, and the thing is, it's taken away for Jake. And so we don't grieve like, oh dear, what's happening to him?
Right.
That's a settled issue.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said, He said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. It wasn't like, you know, there's going to be something else happen. Just today you're going to be with me in paradise. And, you know, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, boom. And so for Jake, it was that. And we rejoice for him.
Yeah.
It's not for him that we're worried or, and it isn't merely, and see, he's a really good example too. We're not grieving with hope because he's no longer hurting. He was doing great, you know, 2 minutes before his accident.
Right.
It's not a contrast with how he was and how he is. It's not what we're trying to do. It really is simply because Jesus died for his sins and rose again that we. And he believed it with all his heart.
Yeah,
that's what gives us confidence about his circumstance now. We know exactly what he is, you know, dealing with now. He is in the presence of the Lord, which is really quite a lot better than being in Texas. I'm just going to
say. It is. Well, and that's the thing. We certainly don't grieve for Jake, but this verse doesn't say that we don't grieve at all. It doesn't say that people without hope grieve and people with hope don't grieve.
Right.
It's still terribly painful to, I mean, you miss Jake and I see my brother and his family missing Jake. And this isn't suggesting that, that there's no grief there at all. And I don't want to make it sound like I used to grieve and now I don't. Or anything like that. This is still a really hard thing to go through, a loss like this. But it just is good. This is what was making me so upset about thinking about how my mom is feeling right now.
Yeah.
Because if my mom hasn't changed her mind about anything, if she still believes what I used to believe when I went to Followers, her hope for her children, she still loves us. She still wants us to go to heaven. But her hope for that is that we return to Followers of Christ Church to have our chance to go to heaven, that's your only way. And that hope is gone now as far as Jake's concerned for her.
Right.
So this really, I hope that she, and my prayer is that this is making her rethink that. Like, I want her to put her hope in Jesus and not, you know, she can grieve the way I'm grieving if her hope is in Jake's faith in Jesus and not in where he was attending church.
Well, I mean, there are two things. I mean, to feel okay, you might say, about Jake's situation now.
Yeah.
Okay is probably an understatement, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we
I feel
are
more than okay.
We are really
it, yeah.
we are really thankful for his situation now, and so we. That's part of it, but our hope is, you know, our hope really to feel better about. I don't know. It does help me feel better about Jake to know that he is in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is we don't grieve as those who do not have hope. Or who have no hope, it's not just hope for Jake, it's hope for ourselves.
Right.
See, to have hope for yourself is a different story, and to be certain of that, and to be certain of it for the same reason here, as those who do not have hope, for since we believe Jesus died and rose again.
Right.
And again, it is based on the death of Jesus for our sins and his resurrection that we have hope for ourselves.
Yeah.
For the future. And so there is, it's not a, you know, sometimes you, I don't know, if you worry maybe that something bad happened to somebody else, it's going to happen to you too.
Right.
I mean, that would be maybe the way you would process it. But the reason that something good would happen to you, like something happened with Jake, so that he is in the presence of the Lord and you can be too.
Yeah,
that's that hope is really dependent completely on the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah,
and I think about that too. I want people to rejoice and have hope because Jesus invites them to be with him in paradise. It's not it's not the paradise that you hope in. It's not the you're not hoping because the weather's going to be better there than it is in the winter time in Oregon. That's
right.
I mean, please, there's other places you can go if that's your criteria for paradise. The paradise is really defined by the fact that you get to be with Jesus. And so I really want people to recognize that the great hope is to be in the presence of the Lord and that he is so wonderful and he loves you so much that being with him is, that would just be so great and such a rich blessing that if I can hope and be certain of that, we talked about hope here before as something you're certain of, that if we can get, if we're there about, you know, that certain about what is going to happen with us because Jesus died and rose again, then we'll be happy because we're with Jesus. Now, I'll just say one more thing and then I'll let you talk again. But, and that is that if, let's just illustrate it this way, right? If, say I want to see Cindy and you guys are at home and, she's with you, right? That's, I want to go visit with her, but she's with you. How do I go about having hope that I'll see Cindy? Well, I go see you, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really is the, that's kind of how that works. And here to know that Jake is with Jesus and it would really be cool, wouldn't it, to see Jake again? Well, The hope is not, and it really isn't. There aren't very many really great promises. Oh, you'll get to see all your loved ones again.
Right.
But the prospect that they are in the presence of Jesus and with him, and then the prospect that you are going to the same place with the same person, that is really hopeful too, that for what we really long for on that end of things too. So I just wanted to say that that for me is one of the wonderful things. It's not the most wonderful. I mean, it's not great to say, and it's not the best hope to say, oh, I'll see him again.
Right.
But it's not a bad hope either.
No, you know? No.
The great hope is I'll see Jesus and he's seeing Jesus right now. And then you guess what? That'll give us a lot of time, like eternity to figure it out.
Yeah. I was looking down. No, that's great. I agree. Yeah, it's he's in the presence of the Lord according to the Bible. I will be in the presence of the Lord according to the Bible. So we'll get to see each other again. And these verses kind of talk about that. If we just read them again, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And then it says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So that last part, that's what you were saying. This is an encouraging thing that we are all going to be together with the Lord. And so, yeah, I think that's... We just kept stopping short of reading all the scripture there.
Well, I think they encourage one another with these words is a pretty important result of that. I mean, that's really what it all drives to is we're grieving with hope.
Yeah.
Because Jesus died and rose again. And because we have this hope, and you have it, and I have it, and Jake had it, we can encourage one another with these words. And that isn't... There's not like speculation. This is one of the things that drives me crazy as a pastor. And I mean, when you start talking to people after they've lost a loved one, all kinds of things come out. And some of them are, I'd say I don't know if I'd say this, but maybe in my experience, shall I say, my limited experience, the majority of the things that come out are made up.
Oh, yeah.
People are making stuff up to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
And they're trying to encourage one another with some words.
Right.
Not Bible words, not what we're talking about here, but something. And they're grasping at something. And here what you have is the promise that those who fall asleep or those who die will be with the Lord, and that you can have hope to be with the Lord as well because Jesus died and rose again. So that's not, you're not making anything up there.
Right.
You're just simply trusting that God is going to do what God says he's going to do.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have other rules. You don't have to other, you know, mechanisms. You have to go to any particular church. You just have to believe that Jesus died, and he died for your sins, and he rose again, and he rose again that you might be reconciled to God, and that hope counts. It matters. It really does matter.
Yeah. And you saying that people would just make things up, I don't know if it's exactly the same as just making something up, but everything that I would say went, so at Followers, we would have 14 to 16 deaths a year, and you pretty much go to all of those. Like that's a majority of them. I was around it a lot, and you would hear those things, and I would just kind of repeat what you hear, and the hope, I never had conversations about the person who died being with Jesus, being in the presence of the Lord. None of those conversations. At least they're not suffering anymore. I'm so glad that they're not suffering anymore. I'm so glad that you don't have to watch them suffer anymore. It was these, while those are good
and
things.
Those were terrible things, and it's good that that's not happening anymore.
It's great, but we can, that isn't the same hope that changes your grief. That isn't that's grieving in a different way than the way I grieve now, with the hope of them being assured that they are in the presence of the Lord because of the promises in the Bible. And so it made funerals there a lot different than my experience since leaving Followers of what a funeral or memorial service is like now. And so I can just see that. That was one of the things my mom asked Gary, are you going to have a funeral service like we do here, like we do at Followers? And, you know, he said no. And then they just, I don't know the exact conversation, but he wanted to explain to her why it was going to be different than what we did at Followers. So at Followers, a funeral service, it consisted of the family, you know, the church would all be, whoever could make it to the funeral would all be waiting out at the cemetery. The family would come in the funeral procession with the funeral home and bring them out, and they would get out. The pallbearers would carry the casket over to the gravesite, and we would sing. There were designated people to sing a couple of songs, and then the pallbearers would take off their boutonniere, the flowers, and place them on the flower casket. Arrangement on the casket. Oh. There was one set on there. You'd place them in that, and you'd walk over, and that was it. Nobody would read scripture. No, we had the 23rd Psalm usually printed on the back of the flyer, and there was just nothing. There was nothing encouraging said to me.
Yeah.
It was just sad.
The thing is not so much, you know, and you're not saying this, but the question is not, did you get the ceremony right?
Sure.
There's no magic in a ceremony, right? The question is the content of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Are you believing something about this that will give you hope?
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get to today, is to say, you know, it really is the death and resurrection of Jesus that gives us hope in the face of even the worst grief you can imagine.
Yeah, that's a good distinction, because I'm just describing something that I saw my whole life. This was just what a funeral was. I'd
right.
never seen a, I'm just saying this is what it was. And then I've seen a few since, and they're Jesus is preached at a funeral, at the funerals that I've been to. We remember and honor the person's life. And Jake, there was a great slideshow of photos and everything from Jake as just a little guy all the way up to adulthood. And it was great. And his mom got up there and read his testimony of coming to faith in Jesus. And it we were honoring Jake, but we're really honoring Jesus with and the work that he had done in Jake's life. So,
and I assume you've been to funerals in multiple churches then, not just one church, right?
I've been to a few now, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's I think, some of it, too, is it isn't church-dependent.
Right.
You know, it isn't the fact that you've got one right church, it's the fact that you've got one right Savior.
Right.
And that's what gives you the hope. And the end of the day is that he's alive from the dead. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen now, since leaving, I've seen funeral services at that same cemetery that I saw funerals my whole life at Followers. I've seen graveside services there now where a pastor does come out and read scripture and talk about Jesus and still honor the person who we're remembering that day and encourages the family with scripture and with the promises of Jesus. So, that's a good distinction. I'm glad you said that. I don't want it to sound like for sure that I'm just saying you've got to get that part of it right. We got it wrong before and we got to get it right.
You weren't saying that. You weren't saying that. I just didn't want somebody to somehow misunderstand that that's what you're saying. And I am really hopeful that, I mean, I'm not just, it's not that I'm not grieving with no hope. I'm grieving with hope, but I'm also hopeful for the sake of, you know, people listening or people who are considering, like, I don't really want to go through that again.
Yeah.
And really can have a different outlook on life and death. And, you know, particularly as you think about what's ahead for the new year and how you want things to be different, this could be one of the things is just, I want to make sure that I have hope that I'm really not that confident in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing that just came to mind as you were saying that and what my hope would be for people who are listening. We got back this week and we went out to a baptism last Sunday at a different church, and one of our friends' daughters were getting baptized, and in her testimony, she had come to faith in Jesus, but she didn't, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I'll just say that Jake's accident and the sudden loss of Jake gave her a sense of urgency about this, that she said in there that I realize that we're not promised tomorrow or something like that. I just want everybody to think about that we are not promised tomorrow. And I want people to feel a sense of urgency about following Jesus.
Right. You have a little sharper point on it. I have just for the new year, we'll round it out a little bit. You're saying, you're not promised tomorrow. You better get it figured out.
Yeah, don't wait until the new year.
It doesn't have to be a new year thing, right?
Maybe this isn't going to come out on the podcast until after the new year. I don't know. But as we're recording it, I'm saying don't wait for the new year.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's good. Well, we would sing, I don't know if we've done this one on here before. We've had some repeat hymns, but we would sing a song called Sweet By and By. And it says, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. not a sigh for the blessing of rest. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. I love that. And by faith, we can see it afar. Have your hope in that scripture said that God will bring people through Jesus. God will bring people, not through any one church, right. Not through getting ceremonies right or anything, any law. It's through Jesus.
He by will bring grace people. Through faith.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott.
You bet. Thanks for talking about this. I know it wasn't easy.
No. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.